I am Rene Anu, and you must to listen like me, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 388, November 1st, 2009. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we love the Northern California Jim Russell Northern
California Rotax Challenge.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's tough to get your tongue around that one.
Yeah, exactly. And they're having their last race, race number 10, over at Kingsman Kart Club in Dixon. That's next weekend, November 8th. Check it out. These guys are great stuff, great talent. And I highly recommend the Northern California Rotax Challenge. Steve, welcome to Abu Dhabi. Bring your wallet.
Yeah, definitely. Beautiful track, though.
Absolutely. The whole facility is. I mean, when you have $1 billion to spend and more, yeah. you're going to get something.
Well, basically, when you really have no budget,
there is no budget. They just went. It just went
exactly, for it. And it looks really good. And the thing I like about it too is that it's opulent, but it's not really over the top. You know, it looks good. It's, you know, not really gaudy. The hotel's maybe a little bit, but it's still a little bit understated.
I thought it was pretty good, and it's just what Bernie wants. The hotel right at the track.
Yeah, though I'm sure Bernie couldn't afford a room in there, considering the prices.
The whole thing looked absolutely wonderful. I liked the transition from daylight, twilight, to nighttime. It was all very smooth. Apparently, the floodlights were on all the time, so you really don't see.
There's no real change in
illumination. There's no transition. It's all just beautiful and a very impressive track.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially like that super long straight. It's nice to have a really long straight again in Formula One. And that did make for some passing opportunities, but it's just definitely a fun. I actually compare it to some of the other new tracks. I really like this one.
Yeah, and of course it was sold out.
Well, when you only got 50,000 seats.
Which is good. I think it's more intimate, you know, instead of 100,000 or whatever they can see.
Well, when you get to some place like Abu Dhabi where your population base isn't exceptionally large, it makes more sense to make it more of a small track. You know, and Formula One is more about the television market these days anyway. When you're in Europe, you know, 100,000 is not a bad idea because you can get that many people to come to the race. But when you're in Abu Dhabi, you know, you're either flying in or you're a local. And I'm sure that the fan base within Abu Dhabi, you know, with a million or two people total in the country. So not a whole lot of people to go to your race.
Well, a lot of people go there for vacation, for holiday, for business. Abu Dhabi is a big destination, and I think they did a fine job. But let's go right to qualifying. Good weather. The only thing is, you know, you get the dirty track, sandy.
Yeah, a little bit dirty track. From what they're saying, that, you know, basically this facility is actually still under construction, so you get a little bit of that. You're talking about green of green tracks, considering the only other tires that have touched this track have been GP2 cars
and Caterpillar.
Caterpillars. You know, so was interesting to watch as you went through the practices as the times start to work their way down.
Absolutely.
As they start to put a little bit more rubber on the track during the weekend. And then finally we get to the sub 140s by the end of quali. But fun. I really like the fact that, you know, they did kind of like that transition from at evening into night, and that they kind of spiced it up a little bit, kind of made it, you get that one shot going down towards, I think it's turn 14, where it's like, oh, hello, there's the sun still.
Yeah, and then the sun setting. It's all very, very good looking, I have to admit. I mean, if you're there in person, I'm sure it's very exciting. Looked like the atmosphere was electric. Just a wonderful track, and you know, we'll see who can top this. I guess South Korea, excuse me.
Next the Koreans year. Are the next new track, and then the Indians soon after that.
Exactly.
So it should be interesting to see how that shakes out. You know, I was hoping the new Donington might be, you know, this opulent, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, you never know, and maybe we could just really get out of control and maybe have a Grand Prix in France.
Wow. Or maybe the United States.
What a concept, dude. What a concept. Okay, Q1 begins, light turns green, and you know, Jaime Alguersuari is one of the first guys out, and that pit exit is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those
it looks like
signature
you're
things
in
for
a
this.
Parking garage.
Yeah, it's exactly. Okay, you're down to the pit lane, now down under the hotel and back out of the track. I'm not even sure what they're going under to get back out on the track. It seemed kind of odd, but I can see where the stewards might be having kittens in that one, because if someone punches it and steps out that back end and just basically wedges themselves into that tunnel, not going to be really easy to get them out.
And you just get the bulldozer in there and
exactly.
You push them out. 15 minutes left to go in Q1, and it was Nick Heidfeld, Romain Grosjean second, Kimi Raikkonen, Jenson Button, and Jarno Trulli. With 10 minutes to go, Heikki Kovalainen spins. And then Lewis Hamilton, of course, goes right to the top. He's been having a great weekend, topping the practices. It's been between him and Jenson Button. Wonderful. Just the McLaren is just suited for this track.
Suited for this track. And of the drivers that we've seen in Formula One in a while, this kid picks up a track like nobody's business. Look at his rookie season. You know, he's going around the world racing on tracks for the first time. And he's as fast as anybody. It's not like he has any trouble picking up the nuances of an individual track.
I agree.
You know, you get some guys who it's like two or three times before they really start to feel comfortable.
Right.
And this guy's, you know, give him three laps and he's right. Good to go.
First time in Canada and wins in Canada. So, yes, Lewis Hamilton definitely dominating the weekend. And he breaks the 1.40 mark. With 6 minutes to go, with a 1:39.873, and of course,
he's the only guy in that first session to break the 1:40.
Right.
You can tell that the track is coming in, because when this session started, you know, they were in the 1:42s, and as the session goes along, you can see that even now it's still rubbering in, because people are starting to get more and more pace as we get through the session.
Yeah. Of course, Giancarlo Fisichella is still not able to get to grips with the Ferrari. Don't know what's going on there.
Well, one of the things they were talking about this weekend is that the Ferrari is probably one of the three worst cars on the grid.
It's very hard to drive.
And it's only the, a talent like Kimi Raikkonen who can really get some pace out of it. And it just kind of shows you the kind of driver that Felipe Massa is because he was getting pace out of a car that was, you know, really not very good.
Exactly. Romain Grosjean, I thought, I thought he was going to drive a little bit better in this qualifying weekend, and because his job is on the line.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more performance out of him, and he's going to be only faster than Giancarlo Fisichella in this session, and that's, you know, pretty sad considering he's going to end up behind the two Force India Mercedes. And I expected more performance. I expected to see some spark that he has, some talent that he can bring to the fore, so that, you know, maybe he can at least get right this moment. I don't think he's even going to get consideration for any of the drives next year.
I agree. Also looking pretty good this weekend was BMW's last race, last qualifying.
Last hurrah, and they're looking pretty strong, putting down some good laps.
Nick Heidfeld and Robert Kubica doing an outstanding job. I was very impressed.
And then poor Clark.
Yep.
First time in his Formula One career.
In his entire career.
Fernando Alonso is out.
And it's his last race with Renault. What's going on here, Steven?
You know, they were talking about it in the, you know, the Renault this season may actually be one of the worst cars in the grid, just overall performance-wise, which really surprises me because, you know, there's a lot of engineering talent there, and I don't understand how they got the recipe so wrong.
Right. I agree. Especially when you see Red Bull with the same power plant doing so well.
Yeah. Well, got to give a little bit of credit. You know, Adrian Newey is, you know, the consummate Formula One chassis genius as far as, you know, aerodynamics and making things happen with a car. And the one thing that he's managed to do at Red Bull that he couldn't seem to do at McLaren is make a car that won't snap on the first curb it runs across or, you know, pop a valve when it, you know, turns onto a straight.
Right.
Maybe he's got a little bit of an advantage now that he's not having to worry about the motor so much. He can kind of focus on the car. But, yeah, the Renault just, you know, Fernando's been getting a lot out of it. You know, congratulations to him to the fact that he was actually even able to get a podium this season, considering how hard this car can be to drive in most situations.
I agree. Also very disappointing is Force India that had some good results this year, and this last race, they just bombed.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, that car seems to be exceptionally well-suited to high-speed tracks. And, you know, I think Tilke may have finally gotten the design right in the one thing about this track is, you've got that one long straight, so you want zero downforce, but the other two sectors of this track are really downforce dependent. You really want downforce on the other two sectors, so you're kind of, you know, there's a little juggling act, and we actually see it in the first few laps of the race where the McLaren in the second sectors is putting a half second on the Red Bulls, but the Red Bulls are making it up in the other two sectors. It's just kind of crazy.
Right. And, of course, the other person this weekend that has to perform well is Heikki Kovalainen.
Yes, he needs to have a good performance, one, to maybe be considered to keep his seat, and two, to be considered for a new seat elsewhere should this happen. What do you think about the possibility of Heikki maybe making it back to Renault?
I don't think so. I don't know what's going to happen to Heikki. It's very tough, of course. Kimi Raikkonen coming out this weekend saying that really the only team that he's interested in that's going to give him a chance to win another world championship is McLaren.
Yeah.
But there's still no decision from McLaren whether they want to pay that kind of salary.
Yeah, ultimately, Kimi is asking, you know, the rumors right now are at $30 million. And if we look at the figures from last week, there's nobody on the grid making that kind of money. You know, not even Lewis Hamilton gets $30 million. You know, Fernando Alonso's new contract probably isn't, it could be close to that, but I'm guessing that he's probably in the 20s. I wouldn't expect him to be much more than that considering the economic climate. So, you know, Kimi's kind of asking himself out, and then, of course, they had the little sidebar in the fact that, you know, any contract he signs, there's going to be the clause that allows him to go rally.
Right.
Which is like, okay, let me see. Okay, if we're going to do that, can we have a clause in the contract that says we don't pay you if you get hurt when you're out rallying? Yeah. Because ultimately, of the motorsports in the world these days, that's the one place you can get really hurt really quick. In fact, of most of the series that I know of, rally's the only one that's had a fatality.
In co-drivers.
Yeah, in the last couple of years.
Right, right. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyway, out in Q1, of course, is Vitantonio Liuzzi, our favorite Giancarlo Fisichella, Adrian Sutil, Romain Grosjean, and I can't even say it, but
Fernando Alonso.
My God, Madge.
Yeah, just a really kind of bizarre first session in that regards. And then we're off to the second session. And again, the lap times are starting to kind of creep down a little bit. We're expecting to see more cars get down below that sub-140. But, you know, only one other car manages to do it in the second session, and that's Sebastian Vettel. Him and Lewis Hamilton, the only ones to break the 140 mark. And, you know, nobody else is exceptionally close. Mark Webber gets kind of close, but not over 2/10 over.
Right, but both Red Bulls doing pretty good. Also, Sebastian Buemi in the Toro Rosso doing very, very good this weekend.
Yeah, he's having a good weekend, which is a good thing for him. He's, you know, currently not signed for a seat next season. But of the two drivers at Red Bull, at Toro Rosso, he's probably the one most likely to get a seat next season. More than likely, he'll end up getting re-signed at Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Alguersuari hasn't really broken, you know, hasn't really broken through, and is probably, you know, he might make it on to, he might make it as a second driver at one of the new teams, but he's another one of those guys who's sweating as to whether or not he's going to have a seat. So out in this session, another one of those surprise happenings in that Kimi Raikkonen doesn't make it out of Q2.
Right.
Kiyumi Kobayashi is out. Heikki Kovalainen, Kaz Nakajima, and Jaime Alguersuari. Actually, Heikki's out because he broke a gearbox.
Right, stopped on the track.
Yeah, and so we didn't know when it happened, but we hear out later. And that's actually going to be a little thorn in his side in the fact that he's going to, you know, take a five-grid penalty because of that. And, you know, he was lamenting it in the press conferences, basically going, you know, I haven't been able to catch a break all season. You know, the team's been there. You know, when the car's good, something happens. When the car's not there, something happens. You pretty much can't catch a break this season, you know. And hopefully people will take that into account when looking at him and seeing that, you know, when he's had a car that worked, he's been, you know, Heikki Kovalainen, he's been pretty solid. He's just, he's had a couple of times when he's made mistakes, but that's not unusual. And what, he didn't make it, he didn't finish like the first five races this year, did he? Something ridiculous like that.
And still, and he's being outpaced by his, you know, when your teammates are Lewis Hamilton, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to look talented when your teammate is uber talented.
Exactly. And the best part is Sebastian Buemi makes it to Q3.
Yep.
Very impressive.
Kaz Nakajima and Jaime Alguersuari are the other two that are out in this session. But kudos to Buemi to make it through. So going into the final session, we have Buemi, Rosberg, Heidfeld, Kubica, Trulli, Button, Barrichello, Weber, Vettel, and Hamilton. And the other interesting thing about the second session is it was, what, 3, 4, 5 minutes before anybody even took track.
A couple minutes. It took a few minutes. Everybody just wasn't in the mood.
Yeah. They were all back enjoying their air-conditioned garages, which all of the garages at this track are air-conditioned.
Exactly. But in the end, Q3 really was a fight between the Red Bulls and the Seoul McLaren.
Yeah, definitely. They were the ones putting down the laps. The bronze kind of poked their noses in there at one point, but were never really as quick.
They were never going to get pulled. There was just no way. But they did pretty good. Rubens Barrichello and Jenson Button sticking pretty close by. For a moment there, Jarno Trulli was at the top, but tumbled really quickly as the times picked up.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, that's the one of the things I love about knockout qualifying is that, you know, especially in the third session, you'll see somebody go out and they'll stick a time up there. You go, oh, that looks pretty good. And before you know it, they're sixth.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost that way in the other two sessions, too. You see somebody throw out a good lap, and they'll drop, and they'll drop, and they'll drop. First session, Fernando was 10th or 11th with about 2 minutes to go.
Exactly.
And slowly but surely got squeezed until he was on the bubble, and then he was knocked out. So, good session. Expected a little more from some of the other people, but a lot of people, I think, were actually looking more fuel strategy than they were looking to get to the top of the grid. They wanted to get themselves good place and set themselves up for the race.
I thought Nico Rosberg did decent making it to Q3, and this being his last race with Williams, he's announced that he's not coming back, even though we really aren't positive of where he's going.
Yeah, he's got a couple of options, but none of those are really firm at this moment. And, you know, he's also, you know, since his father's an ex-Formula One driver, he kind of knows better than, you know, I think people, you know, a couple of weeks ago were placing him going to McLaren. And I think KK went up and went, you don't want Hamilton as your teammate.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, you don't really want to get into a situation where you know the other guy's faster than you.
I agree. So
going to Braun makes more sense because we know that Jens is a good driver, but he's not one of the elite drivers.
Right. And it looks like that's what's going to happen is Nico Rosberg will go to Braun, and, of course, Rubens Barrichello will go to Williams and get another year out of Formula One.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I, I can understand why a team might want him, but man, you know, he was a good, great teammate for Jensen Button this season. It was a good choice, I think, for Braun ultimately, but I don't know. It seems odd to put him back in that seat for another season. He was decent this year, but he also had a superior car at the beginning of the season.
Right, right. So, but if Rubinho survives, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, he is a survivor, we'll put it that way. So as we come down to the end, it's Lewis Hamilton on pole for the inaugural Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Just fantastic lap from Lewis Hamilton.
Just nailed it, considering he ends up basically taking pole by 0.6 of a second over Sebastian Vettel, who will lead his teammate Mark Webber. Mark Webber will share the second row with Rubens Barrichello. On row three will be Jensen Button and Jarno Trulli. On the next row will be Kubica and Heidfeld, teammates. And then it'll be Nico and Sebastian Buemi to round out the top 10. So now on to race day.
Yep, another beautiful day. And it is the final race, first day of November. Pretty exciting stuff.
Final race of the year, inaugural race at this circuit. You know, it's actually kind of nice that the first race at this circuit really doesn't have any effect on the championship necessarily. There are a couple other places that can shake out in this race. We're talking Drivers' Championship, second place is still up for grabs, and then third place in the Constructors is still to be decided. But at least the top spots aren't going into an unknown track up for grabs.
That's true.
Would have maybe made it a bit more stressful for and we know that Nasser is grateful because he really doesn't like it when it goes down to the last race of the year.
Yes. So good for Nasser and, of course, our 2009 World Drivers' Champion, Jensen Button. Anyway, the lights go out. And Lewis Hamilton, great start. Of course, he's got curves. He's got that button that Sebastian Vettel
exactly.
Has.
You get a little bit up to speed, and then you can get some extra boost to get yourself into that first corner. Really pretty a clean start. Nobody really dogged it off the line.
I agree. A very clean start. Rubens Barrichello does get into the back of Mark Webber, where Webber thought he might have had a puncture.
Yeah,
and also, it sort of damages the front wing on Rubens Barrichello's car.
Yeah, pretty much completely takes off the little side plane on Rubens' wing, but doesn't really seem to have a lot of effect. In fact, it's weird because he's almost faster in the first sector because of it.
Exactly. Robert Pizza has a good start. He passes Jarno Trulli. Rubens Barrichello, as he's trying to figure out if his front wing is damaged or not, Jensen Button gets by. Romain Grosjean, how, I don't know, but he got ahead of Fernando Alonso, and Jensen Button is catching Mark Webber fairly quickly.
Yeah, he's up on him, and he's sticking close. He actually has a good shot at him a couple of laps in, coming down at the end of the straight, but Mark Webber, one of the best defensive drivers on the grid, manages to squeeze him out and beat him into the second turn off of the turn at the end of the straight and basically retains his position.
Exactly, but I agree. It was a fairly clean start for a new track. Lap 2, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 1:43.788. And Heikki Kovalainen, who started in 18th position, is up to P13. Yeah. Great start for him.
Great start for him. Poor Agusari, you know, he gets to start. He starts 14th and he's already down to 19th.
Exactly. Lap 3, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton pounding him in with a 1:42.715. Robert Kubica pushing Rubens Barrichello hard. Lap 4, Lewis Hamilton 2. Sebastian Vettel is 1 second. Rubens Barrichello front wing is damaged. One of the end plates.
Taken off by the back tire.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Lewis Hamilton puts in another fast lap, 1:42.186. Lap 5. Lewis Hamilton does it again with a 1:41.620.
But he's not getting away.
No. Even with the curves, the Red Bulls are just staying with him. Especially Vettel. Vettel begins to put in a gap between him and Mark Webber. But Sebastian Vettel just driving outstandingly.
Yeah, his car is working really well, especially in the first and third sectors. And, you know, he's competitive on the straight. He's not quite as fast in Sector 2 as the McLaren, but he's making it up and more than in the other two sectors.
Exactly. Lap 6, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:41.277. Fernando Alonso passes Romain Grosjean. Yippee! Robert Kubica is all over Rubens Barrichello. Lap 7, fast lap of the race, Mr. Mark Webber with a 1:41.025. The top 10 are Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Jenson Button, Rubinho, Robert Kubica, Yarno Trulli, Nick Heidfeld, Nico Rosberg, and Sebastian Buemi. Lap 8, it's 1.8 seconds between Lewis Hamilton, the leader, and Sebastian Vettel. But just after they announced that 1.8 seconds, it dropped to 1.7. Sebastian Vettel inching closer and closer.
Yeah, he's starting to really take bites out of him in those first and third sectors. The tires are starting to come on. The track is rubbering just a little bit more. And the tires, I think, as we find out later, Lewis has a mechanical problem, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Well, and I think this track is not too brutal on tires.
No, it's not too bad on tires, and it's really not that bad on brakes. Really, you only have the one really bad braking point at the end of the straight.
Right.
But you're not really braking a lot after that, so you're getting them cooled back down before you have to really use them up again.
Exactly. Lap 9, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 1:40.883. Lap 10, Lewis Hamilton responds with a 1:40.769. And I just want to announce right now that Giancarlo Fisichella is up 4 spots from where he started. And he's on the soft tires. Most people started on the hards.
Well, I think he was the only one who started on soft tires.
I believe you're correct. He decided to just go wild.
Yeah, go wild and crazy with those soft tires.
And on lap 11, I'm thinking to myself, everything is copacetic, and it's becoming a little processional.
Starting to
not much happening.
It's kind of classic because this is about the point where it starts to shake out, and we start looking towards that first pit stop.
Yeah, and we're thinking of the light runners are going to be pitting soon, and I'm thinking that I hope this doesn't become a procession. And all of a sudden, boom! There, Lewis Hamilton runs wide in turn 17, and all of a sudden, it's under a second between Vettel and Mr. Hamilton.
Yep.
And I'm going, wow, this is going to be an exciting moment. Mark Webber, faster than the two leaders by lap 12. Lap 13, Lewis Hamilton is locking up his brakes again. And obviously, he's having some kind of problem. The braking system is not working well. He's having a hard time slowing the car down. And I don't know, but this is going to be a problem.
Yeah, we're hoping that it's not going to be fatal, but it's certainly looking like it could end up being a really bad problem for him. He's classic for locking him up, but it's not a typical Lewis, lock up that right front going into a right-hand turn kind of lock. It's a little bit more difficult because his braking point seems to be getting further and further away from the corners, which is never a good thing.
Right. Lap 14, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 1:40.571. And Kobe Kobayashi is doing another outstanding race.
The kid
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know
what's going on. This kid is talented.
Yeah. He wins the GP2 Asia. Okay. Yeah. Congratulations. But really had a lackluster season in GP2.
Yep.
And, I suppose some of that you could put down to the fact that he's on new tracks. He's a long way from home. Certainly not driving in GP2 this season like we're seeing him drive here in F1. He seems to have gotten to grips with his car really quick, and he's competitive like so many other drivers that we see come up. It kind of maybe says a little bit for the Toyota in that the Toyota is a reasonably decent car to drive. It just really doesn't have the performance top ends that make it a winner, but he's been able to get a lot out of it, and he's been competitive, and he's really managed to upset some of the other drivers because he is competitive.
I agree. Lap 14, Mark Webber, like I said, with the fast lap, and the gap between Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton is 1.086, and to Mark Webber is 2.583, and by lap 15, you've got to start thinking about the pit stops coming up, and unfortunately, Lewis Hamilton can't put the gap between Sebastian Vettel,
no,
which he really needs to do.
And Sebastian's a little bit heavier. He's probably going to get maybe 2 more laps than Hamilton, and that's not a good recipe for the McLaren. Lap 15 or lap 14, looks like Kubica is going to be the first in today.
Exactly. Keep up the good work. Robert Kubica pits, 9.3 second stop. And lap 16, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with 1:40.367. And like Steve said, Robert Kubica pits, Rubinho pits as well on the same lap. Both good stops. Lap 17, Lewis Hamilton pits, 8.6 second stop, goes with the hard compound. Jenson Button pits as well, 10.2 second stop, and Jenson Button goes to the tunnel, comes back out, and is right in front of our new favorite driver,
Kobayashi.
Exactly.
Who doesn't give him a second to think about it and is already attacking him.
Exactly. He's just going chop, chop, chop.
Yeah, he makes one move on him. He tries to get him in the first corner, but Jensen is able to squeeze him out. But then he kind of fakes him on the next corner and then dives under him on the third corner to take him.
Outstanding.
Just some phenomenally good driving. I was laughing because, you know, Jensen's guy going, who the heck is that?
You could hear the roar of the crowd. It was very exciting. On that lap,
and Mark, just to say, Hamilton stopped textbook for the McLaren pit crew. They nailed it. You couldn't have had a better stop, considering he was expecting to get about 8 seconds of fuel, and he was only in for 8.6. So, good stop.
Absolutely. It was a good short stop. Jenson Button's a little bit longer. As Steve says, Kobe gets by Jenson Button. While this is happening, Mark Webber pits, 9.3 second stop. He goes with the hard compound, comes out in P4. Yarno Trulli pits, Nico Rosberg pits, and Sebastian Buemi pit. Lap 18, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1:40.328. And Jaime Alguersuari pits on lap 18, but unfortunately pulls in to the wrong bull.
He went a little bit too far down the lane and ends up trying to pull into the Red Bull pit
instead of the Toro Rosso pit. And the problem is the Red Bull pits, which were ready for a pit stop, getting ready because for Sebastian Vettel. Jaime Alguersuari, and it was just sort of bizarre to see this happen. He pulls into their pit. They look at him and they go,
well, they see him turning in and they're like going, they all start waving him off.
Yeah.
They get the jack guy out of the way because this guy ain't stopping. Keep going. Keep going.
So he has to, so Jaime misses his pit stop basically by going into the wrong box.
And the problem being is that he was on his last lap of fuel when he came in.
Exactly. And so gets no fuel.
Yep. So he's got to limp around the track to get back into the pit without running out of gas. If he'd run the next lap at full pace, he probably wouldn't have made it around.
Well, luckily he did continue and drive through.
Yep.
Because Vettel was coming right in for his pit stop.
Was literally right behind him.
Exactly. So Sebastian Vettel pits, 9.3 second stop, comes out and is now leading the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Yep, and it's about this time that we hear a radio transmission to Lewis going,
correct.
Lewis, you might be having a problem with your right rear brakes, and not a good sign. Two more laps, and they call him in and tell him it's over just because it's just too risky. Apparently that I don't know if it was the calipers or the pads or what, but something was going on in that rear corner. And in later interviews with Lewis, he basically said it was something that was going on. Basically, he knew about it from the start of the race and that it was giving him problems. And we could see that in the fact that he wasn't able to pull away from Sebastian Vettel. And you could tell that he was kind of babying it to try to protect it and just wasn't going to do it.
Exactly. That was on lap 20 when he pulled into the garage. During that time, Jaime Alguersuari is stopping on track. Slows and then can't even make it back to the pits, and most of us assumed he was out of gas.
Yeah, and the thing is that I don't think he did. Did he actually stop? Yeah, I guess he did eventually stop. He was trying to limp it back to the pits.
He didn't make it.
But he didn't make it.
So poor Alguersuari, wrong box, now runs out of gas.
That's not going to do well for your getting a drive next season, kid.
Lap 21, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Kobayashi, Jenson Button, and Rubinho are the top five. Lap 22,
Sebastian Vettel to Mark Webber, 6.8 seconds. Vettel is doing an outstanding job. He's putting a little gap between the second position.
He's actually starting to run away with this. Now that he's gotten Lewis out of his way.
Exactly.
He's flying.
Absolutely. Lap 23, Kimi Raikkonen is beginning to catch Rubinho, and Kobayashi is running faster than the rest of the group.
Yep, Kobayashi on a single stop strategy, coming up near his stop, and is really starting to throw down some good laps. This kid can actually drive this car. You know, if Toyota's in the business next season, then I'm expecting Kobayashi's going to be one of their two drivers.
Lap 24, Adrian Sutil pits from last place. Lap 26, Kobe is now going faster than Mark Webber. It's very impressive how Kobe's really come to grips with this Toyota, and I think he's comfortable in the car.
Yeah, definitely seems to be. I think he got some test laps in the car early in the preseason, but he hasn't been in it since they've developed it, dipped out. But he's doesn't seem to be bothering him at all to be in it.
I think after this race, he'll be confirmed at Toyota for 2010.
Probably right after they get their budget in November, which is, right. That's due in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Toyota's going to announce.
Well, a lot of the driver shuffling around will be settled in the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Once you get basically the season's over, you got a couple of teams that can step up and actually get some of the larger salary type guys out of the way, then the smaller teams can kind of dip into the barrel.
Lap 28, Giancarlo Fisichella pits from P15. Lap 29, Kimi Raikkonen pits, 9.9 second stop, goes with the soft compound. And Fernando Alonso has made no gains, is still in P15, and I'm really bumming.
Yeah, it's just a rough race for the Renault because, you know, Fernando's holding pace, but his teammate just seems to be kind of trying to drag that anchor around the track.
Lap 30, Kobayashi pits, 9.4 second stop, goes with the soft compound, and comes back out in P12. Lap 31, Sebastian Vettel to Mark Webber is now 9.2 seconds.
It's about this time that we get to see Adrian Sutil take out one of the little corner markers. corner markers on a lot of the tracks, on some of the corners, and Sutil decided that he needed to cut that corner a little bit more sharply.
Exactly.
Than that. Knock that sucker out of the way.
Lap 31, Heikki Kovalainen pits, 9.6 second stop, soft compound for him. Vitantonio
Liuzzi.
Yep, he pits along with Romain Grosjean. And Giancarlo Fisichella takes a drive-through penalty for speeding in the pits.
And I'm hearing that and I'm seeing that and I'm going, is he really that confused about the steering wheel that he doesn't know where the pit lane speed limiter is?
I don't know. I'm glad this season is over for him.
I'm starting to think he's probably going to be glad it's over too, because he's probably getting tired of looking so meek.
I know. It's terrible. And now there's even talk about him going back to Force India next year. The whole thing is out of control.
I think if I'm Vijay Mallya, I don't want him back.
Exactly. You fool. No,
he did really well while he was there, but the fact that he left, you know, and he won't be back because he's basically, the contract he signed was also as the test driver next year. So, you know, and now that Fernando's there, we've got, you know, old home week going, so yep. You know, they can go out for pizza.
Well, let me put it this way. You can't have your pasta and eat it too, Stephen.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Lap 33, Adrian Sutil passes Romain Grosjean. Then Fernando Alonso is now catching Kobayashi. Lap 34, Fernando passes Kobe and says, hasta la vista, baby.
Yep.
This world champion will not.
And Kobe's going, I don't have to stop again.
That's true. Fernando Alonso pits on lap 34, 8.2 second stop. Soft compound comes out in P14. Just miserable.
Which means basically they just gave back that spot.
I know. Yeah, right after that, the pass still looked pretty
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Lap 36.
He passed somebody.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I was excited. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Lap 36 is Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Jenson Button, Rubinho, and Nick Heidfeld in fifth place.
Nicky's having a good race.
I'm really impressed. I mean, he's always the mediocre guy, and he gets a lot of flack for it.
The one thing you can always say about Heidfeld, consistent. He's consistent. He puts down basically good laps every lap. He doesn't make mistakes. You know, he's, you know, if he's got a car that's good enough, he's in the hunt. But he's not going to blow you away with his pace.
Right. Final stops coming up soon. Lap 38. Adrian Sutil passes his teammate Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you get for out qualifying.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Liuzzi looked really great. And,
he looked good in practice and in quali, but I'm still thinking he's still trying to get used to this car.
At this track. I mean, yeah. It's not Spa. It's not...
Well, it's not any track that he's ever been on before. Right. And he's, you know...
Nobody's been on this.
It's like his third race of the season.
Right.
So he's doesn't really have the depth of knowledge to kind of be truly competitive.
Right. Nico Rosberg pits on lap 38, 8.1 second stop, soft compounds. And this is from P9. Lap 39, Robert Kubica pits from P7, comes out in P9. Lap 40, Mark Webber pits, 7.6 second stop, soft tires, and comes back out behind Jarno Trulli. Lap 41, Rubinho pit, 7.2 second stop, Nick Heidfeld, Sebastian Buemi pit. Then Rubinho comes out in front of Nick Heidfeld. And of course, the final important pits is on lap 42, where Sebastian Vettel does his final pit stop.
Yep. Adrian Sutil is also in with him. Vettel stop, textbook. And you can see the guys, the Red Bull guys, high-fiving and, you know, giving each other a pat on the back. They know that they're done with their pit stops for the season, and they basically nail it on their last one.
Right. Robert Kubica, meanwhile, spins on lap 42, trying to get around Sebastian Buemi.
Yeah, and Buemi gave him a little bump to kind of get him free. And it really kind of does Robert in because he ends up getting passed by Rosberg while he's trying to get back on track. And that kind of took him out of, you know, he was in a good position to get into the points for the race. But that pretty much ends his day as far as the opportunity to score.
And Jenson Button's pit crew did a great job. He comes out of his pit and it was able to leapfrog his teammate Rubinho, which I'm sure made Rubinho very mad.
Yes. Like that hasn't happened before this season.
Exactly. A number of times. So his engineering crew and his pit crew are doing a fantastic job because, that, you know, teams within the team, very impressive stuff. Lap 43, it's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Nick Heidfeld, and Kobayashi. And I was happy for Jenson Button leapfrogging Rubinho because now the 2009 world champion will focus and try to get on this podium for the last Grand Prix of the season. Very good stuff. Lap 45, Nico Rosberg hoping to pass Sebastian Buemi. Lap 48, Jenson Button now is beginning to catch Mark Webber. And this is, the race was a little dull, you know. And then finally, towards the end, we finally got our last 2009 season shot of excitement. But it's true.
It is.
It was exciting. These last few laps where Jenson Button is beginning to catch Mark Webber. Maybe Mark Webber was having tire issues, not sure.
All it of kind sudden, of looked like what was happening is that the tires were starting to go off for Mark.
Especially in the rear. He was losing his rear end quite a bit.
Yeah, and whereas, as we've seen all season, the Bruns are probably the gentlest car on tires on the entire grid. And so Jens is finally starting to get up to him. He gets really – he almost gets him.
Yeah, these
on the
last,
second to last lap.
These last six laps are pretty exciting, exactly. I have to admit. And the last two laps, Jenson Button really, really not slacking off at all, cruising home. He was really pounding Mark Webber for that second position.
That second to last lap, he had him at one spot.
He had him at
Webber
couple,
managed to just beat him back out of the corner.
Just outstanding driving from both of them. These guys are friends off track. And it was very good racing, very respectable, and I was very impressed with this.
Yeah.
It was a great ending for the 2009
exactly.
season.
A lot of fun to see this happening coming up on the end of the final race of the year.
Exactly.
Seeing some guys fighting it out for a spot and really giving us a bit of a show.
Yeah, and Sebastian Vettel not letting up at all. Even on lap 54, puts in the fast lap of the race with a 1:40.279, and of course on the following lap, wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. It was a very nice race. I enjoyed it. I can't believe how quickly this season has gone by. Very disappointing for me and my Renault team. But there you have it. Fernando Alonso is now gone, going to Ferrari. Hopefully Ferrari will be competitive for him. And I hope Robert Kubica is competitive in the Renault next year.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Renault should be at least a bit more competitive next season. They just, like I said earlier, they just kind of missed the recipe on the new car this year.
And it was an ugly car. That front end never looked right to me. It was just like it looked like a pig. I didn't like it. And I would have never said that during the season out of sheer respect for my people. But let's face it, I think the only reason why the Renault looked graceful at all during the season, it was under the skillful hands of Fernando. Yeah, because Romain Grosjean, even the gentleman that we will not mention on this program.
He who shall not be named.
Yes, the evil one.
We put Grosjean in the car, and really, if anything, it was a step down from he who shall not be named. Obviously, the car was not very good, because even in Fernando's hands, it was only marginally competitive on certain tracks.
I agree. But a terrific season. We'll talk a lot more about the 2009 season and, of course, all the races we had over this weekend during Motorsports Mondial and podcast number 389 for our midweek program. Right now, we're going to go right to our 50 words on the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix from our forum members, and Steve shall start.
We shall start with Cosmos, and he writes, close to $1 billion was spent to create a track, but money can't buy great racing, another yawn-inducing processional race. Also, how the mighty have fallen, Renault car is easily the worst on the track.
From Miguel, great circuit, boring race, but the first is not responsible for the second. Kobayashi is proving himself worthy of the Kobayashi Nets. Oh boy. It took Vettel 48 laps to reach back markers. That's how close the whole field is. You just have to accept that some days, blah, blah, blah. Whoops, that's his signature. Keep up the good work, Miguel. From Kei Sen, great racing at the end. Interesting circuit despite the expectations of some. Pity about the champagne or lack thereof. Rosewater may be very nice if you're into that kind of thing, but it's not the same. Kobayashi performed again. Anyone miss Glock? Nope, I thought not.
From Ye, it was worth the billions of dollars it took to make this track just to see Button and Weber battling. I think of all the new tracks we've seen in the past few years, this one may turn out okay. The next one's from Auto Racer 5. I missed the F1 race and forgot to record it. Oh well, at least they've got Talladega to look forward to today. As for the reason, yo, Holmes, smell you later.
Yes, Auto Racer 5, please, let's keep the subliminal content to a minimum.
Yeah, well, if you missed the race, why are you commenting on it, buddy?
And there it is. To sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air. He's got this weird infatuation with the Prince of Bel Air. Chris, I'm worried about you. Go talk to your father. From the FIA Ferrari Conspiracy, or FFC, if F1 had four consecutive races as boring overall as this one, it'd lose half its audience. But kudos to Kobayashi for the incredible improvement he's made during his brief F1 foray this far. As to champagne, does no one else see a mixed message? Go IRL. Go milk. Come on, Jensen. Overtake that Commonwealth lout. I think that's his signature. I got to cut these signatures out. Baumgartner is next.
Baumgartner writes, Kobayashi is proving to be at least Rookie of the Year and deserving as a driver worth his seat next to someone experienced and good next to him. Heidfeld, maybe? The track itself, no classic. I enjoy it more than Bahrain, Valencia, and Singapore at least. And then next is Iceman, and he writes, yes to Yas, for once 800 mil buys a great track. Vettel proves his class again. Kayumi K confirms Brazilian promise. Good few last laps. Tension between Weber and Button. Farewell to 09. Roll on to 2010.
And our final 50 words on the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix from Blue Prost. Haven't heard from him in a while. I think I was watching a different race. Great early tension between Lewis and Seb. Then Kobayashi driving this nuts off, and then Jensen doing what he does best by scaring the pants off Mark Webber. Thank you, Blue Pros. Keep up the good work to all our pro, our forum members. And I'm sure if you go check out the forum for the rest of the week, there's going to be a lot of talk about the ending of the 2009 season, what we have to expect, and new drivers in 2010, and blah, 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 blah.
There'll be plenty of blah, blah, blah on the forum. You know there's going to be a lot of discussion about who's going where. And,
exactly.
You know, what you know rookie drivers might sneak in and all that good stuff. So it should be fun.
And I think there's still going to be some surprises. Nico Rosberg, that's still up in the air. They say Timo Glock is signed with Renault, but that is not confirmed. A whole new lineup at Toyota, and I believe Kobayashi should be there and deserves to be there.
He definitely, after these last two races, he deserves at least to be in the mix.
Absolutely. It's, I think it's going to be goodbye to Romain Grosjean, and I think there's a number of other drivers we may not see in the next season.
No, you got a couple of guys who are probably going to end up in, I think Heidfeld's one of them, who's probably going to end up in DTM just because there's not going to be a seat for him left because most people aren't going to want to pay him what he's worth. And, you know, when you can go get a kid out of GP2 and pay him, you know, half a mil versus paying Nicky, you know, five or six, that's what they'll do.
So there you have it. There's still some doubts whether all four new Formula One teams will be on the grid next year. That's, of course, from Bernie Eccleston. And, of course, we certainly hope that BMW or the BMW Sauber team, formerly BMW, powered by Ferrari next year, will be on the grid as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't have that big a problem with 14 teams on the grid.
Nor do
I. If it comes down to it, okay, you have four knockout sessions and the first four knocked out don't race. You know, exactly. Go back to the real old formula.
The vintages.
Yeah. I can understand Frank Williams' concern in that, you know, it's going to dilute the prize money. But, Frank, build a better car.
And win.
Exactly. Build a better car, score more points, get more money.
I agree completely. So there you have it. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.